This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hello there and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, the very best bits of today's show. Tuesday, the 27th of July. I'm going to kick off with Serena Kelly, and as well as giving us COVID updates, Serena is also giving us Olympic updates, particularly about the UAE participation, which we are really enjoying sometimes with sound effects. Talking recruitment a little bit later on, the guys from Cooper Fitch have been crunching the numbers on the job market in the UAE, and it is flying at the moment. 42% increase in the number of job postings. Going to hear from their boss, Trevor Murphy, longtime friend of the Business Breakfast. Technology is the place to be. That's the one thing I will tell you about that. Going to get the latest on the new Prime Minister in Lebanon. He's a multi-billionaire with strong ties to Abu Dhabi. Also going to get the thoughts of Shadi El Borno on that and the challenge that he and his government will face. And finally, we're going to hear from our very own Brandy Scott. She is in Miami. She's talking everything from inflation to Donald Trump. All that to come. First up, though, here is Serena with the top stories.
Ask Serena.
Morning, Mrs. K.
Morning, guys.
Unflappable. Despite my attempts to throw you off your script when you were reading the sports stories this morning.
You can try. I've had so many different experiences. I've had people try to set fire to my scripts. I'm talking in the past. Yeah. So producer Schroots would be able to vouch for that one. But yeah, you can
She's
try.
She's nodding in the background.
What?
Yes.
You have people try to set fire to your scripts.
Yes, whilst, you know, in the middle of reading them.
This is at a different radio station, a different network.
And, you know, I've had people throwing money at me. It's just, yeah, it's almost, oh, yeah, that was brilliant.
Producer Shruti is telling us, because you guys did work together at a different radio network a few years ago. Producer Shruti has just told Tom and I in our ears that Serena Kelly, you played a prank on Shruti.
It wasn't actually me. It was our colleague, because he was the brains, the mastermind behind the whole event. But yeah, literally, she was taking a snooze in the studio. And I do have video footage.
We've all got previous with that.
I've got I do have video footage. I can share with you later off air. But yeah, she was basically, it was definitely it.
Oh, poor producer Shruti.
Yeah, she wasn't very happy. But anyway, good times had by all. But I think it's always been a challenge to try and throw off your news presenter, I believe.
So the reason I was playing the water sound effects during your sports news bulletin was because, actually joking apart, it's a big day for the UAE today, isn't it? And a teenage UAE athlete who is competing in Tokyo in about 5 or 6 hours' time?
Yep, Yusuf Al-Matrushi. He will be in action this afternoon representing the UAE. So the heats that you're looking at, they're going to start pretty much from 2 o'clock this afternoon. You are looking for the 18-year-old in heat 3 of the men's 100 meters freestyle event. He held the UAE flag during the opening ceremony as the leading the delegation out during the ceremony. And he's basically, as according to my colleague Nadia Swan, he will be aiming to better his personal best time of 51.49 seconds.
It's astonishing. Tom was telling us earlier, basically a few years ago, he went down to do football trials, turned left rather than turning right, ended up at the swimming trials and discovered that he was Olympic standard.
Yep, see? It's all thanks to his mum.
That is impressive stuff. How can we watch it, Serena? What do we know about the coverage that we've got in this region? There's, it's always a bit patchy, isn't it?
Definitely quite a few channels and also streaming as well. I know we've got a few set up outside several TV channels, and definitely online streaming has been working as well.
BN's the best one. If you're looking for coverage, they've got pretty significant coverage across a variety of channels at the moment. So as long as you signed up to the BN package, you can watch the Olympics to your heart's content.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Or just illegally stream it like Serena is.
No, that's not what I meant. I was going through various legitimate channels. Oh my goodness. Okay, would you like to know about the Olympic Rugby Sevens?
I'd like to know about anything other than what Tom just mentioned.
Australia scraped into the quarterfinals of the Olympic Rugby Sevens and will face defending champions Fiji in the knockout round. New Zealand going to meet Canada in their quarterfinal. Britain tackle the United States. South Africa face off against Argentina. But yeah, it's like Tom said, a lot of events going on today. Swimming, surfing, that'll be one to watch because obviously it's making its debut, and to see who gets the gold medal for that one will be quite an event and achievement as well.
Right then, a little bit close to home, Serena Kelly. Let's look at the number of cases for COVID, doses and also tests.
So over the last few days, you've had figures of 1,507, 1,528. Yesterday, latest cases, 1,549. So, yeah, it's just been going up with regards to the new cases. That's after more than 232,000 tests were conducted. You have seven fatalities were announced yesterday, 1,927 total deaths now in the country. Recoveries, 1,510. Your active cases up from 20,543. We are now at 20,575.
How are we doing with jabs?
We've made a little bit of a milestone. More than 16.5 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine have been administered in the country so far. You had more than 28,200 doses administered on Sunday. And currently more than 68% of the UAE population is now fully vaccinated. 68.93% have had two jabs and 77.88% have just had the one so far.
Right then, a couple of other stories that you're covering this morning. Can you talk to me about this 100 million meals campaign that the UAE is spearheading, but not here in the UAE, in Egypt?
Yes, that's right, because 30 million meals have been distributed in Egypt through the campaign. More than 500,000 people and families are in need will be are benefiting from it. How? They've received parcels containing easy-to-store items, including flour, rice, sugar, cooking oil. And if you remember, like you were saying, Richard, the 100 million meals campaign ended in May of this year, surpassing targets, securing 216 million meals. Food aid distribution is still underway in several countries, just part of the massive campaign. Hence why we're giving you the update in Egypt.
Let's talk about transport, something new for Dubai's transport sector. But from the looks of things, it is distinctly low-tech.
In the sense, an urban ropeway system. So what is that? It is sustainable transport. Best way to describe it would be cable cars suspended on ropes in the air. So the Dubai RTA are looking into it. They have actually signed an agreement with French mobility specialist MND.
Okay, so this isn't like a rope bridge like I'm thinking about that I had when I was growing up.
No. Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, the cabins going through the air type of thing. But it's basically part of Dubai's vision to have 25% of all trips as autonomous by 2030. So this system, if it is something that does go ahead, because they're in discussions at the moment, fully automatic, driverless, self-propelled cabins will move over the ropes, speeds of up to 45 kilometers per hour. It's very quiet, minimalist, and basically will work well into any existing transport system in any city. But yeah, this is definitely a space to watch.
Finally, looking overseas, you've been listening to the White House Press Secretary, Jen Psaki.
That's right. The US will not be lifting any existing travel restrictions at this point. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention make recommendations based on health data.
Given where we are today, and I think you've seen this, and those of you who have asked, we've confirmed this for, with the Delta variant, we will maintain existing travel restrictions at this point for a few reasons. The more transmissible Delta variant is spreading, both here and around the world. Driven by the Delta variant, cases are rising here at home.
I believe many countries, including the UK, there were hopes of a travel corridor possibly being set up with the United States. But in this case, they've decided no, we won't be making any changes as of yet.
Serena Kelly, thank you very much indeed.
More details on the Air and News Centre app.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's talk about the job market now, because the good news is there are a lot more jobs being advertised. We know that because the guys at the recruitment firm Cooper Fitch have crunched the numbers. The founder and CEO is an old friend of the Business Breakfast, Trevor Murphy. He joins us now on the line and via Microsoft Teams. Morning, Trevor.
Morning, Richard. Hope you're well.
I'm really good, thank you. And I'm really encouraged by the findings of your report, a 42% increase in the number of jobs. What's the story behind that number?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a massive increase. And we have to put that down to, obviously, there's been a really nice rebound across most markets, nearly all markets. But we have to look back at H1 last year. And whilst January, February, and March were pretty decent months in H1, when we got into April, May, June, we had a significant reduction in job creation and job activity in the Q2 period of last year. So it's a kind of a two-sided story. It's how difficult it was last year for us. And then I guess, you know, still a very, very positive news story around a really good return to the jobs market.
To what extent is this company's rehiring staff or replacing staff that they let go? I mean, the classic example, of course, is the airlines and aviation. We know there was a lot of retrenchment among Emirates, Fly Dubai, the Etihad as well, and others this time last year. And we're hearing, not just anecdotally, Brandy Scott's been speaking to the guys at Emirates this week, and they're telling us that they're bringing back their Boeing pilots. They're even bringing back their A380 pilots as quickly as they can train them at the other. To what extent is this just replacing those that were lost last year?
I mean, I think it's a very valid point, and I think we're definitely seeing that it's certainly partly that, where people are just rebuilding their own team sizes again. So I'd say it's probably 60 or 70% that people are just rebuilding their teams, and then there's just some growth. And I think, as always in a market as dynamic as the Gulf, we're seeing that the balance of the 30% are probably, you know, creating new jobs in new areas that maybe we haven't seen the kind of volume or necessity for those type of jobs. So I think it is definitely a combination. Honestly speaking, we do very little in the aviation sector, so our numbers would not be moved significantly by the fact that Emirates are rehiring and Etihad, etc. But I think it's a very valid point, Richard.
We've got lots of questions coming in. I'm going to throw this one at you from Bartholomew, who says, with restrictions on employing people from traditional source markets for the UAE, one of the big ones would be India, of course, effectively closed at the moment. Does that mean that expats already resident in the UAE are in a better negotiating position for jobs? Or, Bartholomew asks, are employers willing to wait until matters ease?
I mean, look, I think there's been a, you know, I think there's been a real search for talent in country across the Gulf for the last, you know, 12, 18 months. So when clients have come to us in the period of COVID and still in a COVID time, I guess, you know, we're seeing that, you know, employers are saying to us, look, the first option is we'd like someone in country. So because they're in country, we don't have to worry about travel restrictions, et cetera. So I think a stronger position, probably better position to get a really, you know, get an opportunity or get a good opportunity. I think that was always the case. And I think probably now it's just probably a greater component of the jobs market, that if you're in country, whether that's Saudi, Qatar, UAE, you know, you're more likely to get a position here.
Well, I'm looking at that. That's prefaced my next question, which is about hopping between GCC countries. The UAE is the strongest market in your survey, 42% increase, closely followed by Saudi Arabia and Qatar. It's a well-trodden path, isn't it? People in the UAE being hired to do jobs in Saudi Arabia in particular, but also to an extent in Qatar as well. Is that path still open?
Look, I think it is. So there's a number of things. The one, the UAE numbers increasing more than anyone else at any other GCC country is partly down to the fact that the UAE dropped more significantly than any of the other countries in last year. So that's a factor there. Saudi have probably had more actual real job creation or job growth creation. But the movement between countries is absolutely at play. I mean, obviously, it's become quite difficult to get to Saudi from the UAE again with the most recent block on flights, etc. But a lot of people are being onboarded from a home office setup until with the belief that that's going to change, you know, in the next number of months, even though we keep being told it's going to change, but it hasn't changed yet. So, yeah, I think it's a factor. I think you know, with the removal of the blockade in Qatar, I think we're definitely seeing a lot more activity in Qatar at the moment, and a lot more engagement between UAE and Qatar and Saudi and Qatar. But yeah, we are definitely seeing movement. Obviously, it's not physical movement just yet, but definitely movement of people looking at taking up positions in Saudi or Qatar.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, Trevor. Some questions to throw at you. I'm reading your report here. Digital and technology clearly features prominently. Cyber up 36%, digital up 26%, artificial intelligence up 21%, cloud computing up more than 100%. How dominant is tech?
I mean, new tech, IoT, digital, cyber, cloud is phenomenally important. I mean, I think the UAE has really shown how dynamic it can be in a very troubling economic and jobs market position, that they could move so quickly to a completely off-site premises cloud setup. So, and that's organizations that have had to come through this. I think we've done remarkably well. And then the consulting firms and advisory firms that have fed into supporting those organizations, all of our organizations, to become more remote and more digitally savvy. So it is a massive play. But very notably as well, the M&A investment piece has been significant in H1 of this year over last year. And it had a very good year last year overall. Big four firms, incredibly busy across all of service lines, increasing all the way across. And then notable improvements in kind of manufacturing, pharma and supply chain as we absolutely, as countries have seen during COVID, that we really need to develop an enclosed supply chain system that allows us to be self-sufficient from, or more self-sufficient from what's happening from a heavily import-reliant basis for certain produce.
1 minute left, Trevor. I can see on Microsoft Teams that you're suited and booted. You're in the office. I can see your colleagues walking behind you. So there's clearly quite a lot of activity at Cooper Fitch. Today, what kind of placements are you going to be looking at? Is it the C-suite? Is it a level below that? 30 seconds, paint a picture of the kind of deals that you guys are working on.
So we're probably right between D and C. So director to C-level. We've had very nominal single-digit growth, which was incredible for us as a firm. Next year is our sixth year as this year is our sixth year as Cooper Fitch. We've added 11 new people to the team. Some are at home, some are in the UK, some are in Ireland, some are around the world. But we see that this year is going to be a very significant year, probably about a 20% growth for us.
And finally, 20 seconds, what's the sweet spot in terms of salaries that you guys are working on? Is it 10,000 dirhams a month, 100,000 dirhams a month?
I would say our sweet spot is probably between 70 and about 120,000 a month.
Very good. Tom and I will be on the line to 11, 1 minute past 11 this morning. We're going to be knocking on your door. CVs are being polished. LinkedIn profiles are being updated. Trevor Murphy is the founder of the Cooper Fitch, the recruitment consultancy. It's always nice talking to you, Trevor. Appreciate your time this morning. And nice to see Trevor is all joking apart back in the office. And his colleagues are clearly back in the office because you can see them moving around behind him. You're listening to The Business Breakfast, Dubai i103.8.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
So one of the big regional economic stories of the past 24 hours, Tom, is Najib Mikati, who is the Prime Minister designate in Lebanon. He's going to be forming a new government. Not an easy task. Not the first time he's had the top job in Lebanon. But you and I were both looking at him and were surprised to see that there's a strong UAE angle there.
From a family perspective, yeah, he's an interesting character, isn't he? Obviously, a self-made billionaire, twice former Prime Minister, Member of Parliament, representing the northern city of Tripoli, one of the poorest in the country, one of the poorest in the Mediterranean at the moment. Political career began back in the early 1990s. From 98 until 2004, he was the Minister of Public Works and Transport. He has built relations with a number of leaders across not just across Lebanon, but across the Arab world as a whole. But then, of course, he's got this business empire as well. Family seems to have made... He and his brother seem to have sort of... the family is obviously a wealthy family. The Mankati family is well known here in the region. He and his brother in recent times seem to have invested a lot of that family wealth that I think was made in construction, if I'm not wrong, into telecommunications.
Specifically, they started off with ACC, didn't they? Arabian Construction Company in Lebanon in the 60s.
Yeah, so I think that's the family business, which has been around for, what, 50-odd years or something now, isn't it? Yeah. And then have invested into telecoms since then, because ACC is Abu Dhabi based or
is
not?
It's Abu Dhabi based now, yeah. Started in Lebanon, but Abu Dhabi based. I'm on their website looking at some of their projects. The Gate Towers, you know, the one that looks like Marina Bay Sands. Yeah. They did that one. The Rosewood Hotel in Abu Dhabi, Mumbai. They've got projects. Oh, Almas Tower here in Dubai, the big one down in JLT, and many others. We could continue. So yeah.
But what they then did is...
Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so significant developments they're in. They've also... But the brothers also came, he and his brother Taha, and they founded Investcom in 1982, which is good old-fashioned telecoms in investments, because they do mobile phone masts. The old thing, as long as you, I can see your mast from here, you know, from one side of the
thank you very much
the country to the other. They built mobile phone masts specifically in Ghana, Liberia, and Benin. In 2007, they co-founded the investment company M1 Group, which again specializes in telecoms, but also has investments in property, aircraft financing, fashion and energy, according to the official website. They recently bought into the Myanmar business, interesting, of the Norwegian telecoms company Telenor, after the problems over in Myanmar. But the Forbes Middle East rich list, or Forbes Middle East list, basically say that the two brothers, Nasheeb and Taha, his brother, are two of the richest Arabs in the world at the moment. Regularly find them in the top 10 of richest Arabs in the world, currently the 9th and 7th respectively. So obviously have huge investments worldwide, but also a lot of interest back in Lebanon, none more so than more recently, with the country turning to him during their hours of need for a little guidance.
It's not an easy job by any means. Shadi Shail Borno is Senior Director of Group Research at Emirates NBD. He's been following this one closely. We asked him, first of all, in the very, very short term, what are the economic priorities for Lebanon's new Prime Minister?
Well, there are a multitude of priorities, but short term, what will be key is negotiating aid from the International Monetary Fund and addressing important issues such as repairing the country's electric grid.
Those are the short-term priorities. What about more long-term, to rebuild the Lebanese economy so it can fulfill its economic and financial potential?
Well, confidence is the delta here, and Lebanon needs to take difficult decisions needed to rebuild its confidence back with the international financial community and domestically with its local economy.
I'm sure everyone here in the UAE with an interest in Lebanon will wish him and his team all the very best with that.
Yeah, I mean, the only question I'll put out there, and it's a little bit of a cheeky question, but and it's got, you know, no specific leanings to Mr. McCarthy's latest nomination for a position of power in the Lebanon. But he is the latest in a long line, a succession of business tycoons to assume premiership in countries, not just Lebanon, and other parts of the world as well. And it begs the question, doesn't it, whether business tycoons are the right people to see countries through difficult times as well. I mean, you could find examples where they have turned countries around economically and otherwise, but are they best qualified?
Well, I think maybe they are, and in some ways it's people who have had great success in one field have got that drive, that determination that can then be applied to politics. Now, you can take that from the world of business. I mean, you had Donald Trump as president of the United States. You could take it from the world of sport, where you've got Imran Khan, who is now the Prime Minister of Pakistan. It was by no means a guarantee of success, but those qualities that make you a success in whatever your field is often do translate into another field. But it's a very difficult situation that he's got at the moment.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast,
where we cross live to Brandy Scott.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America.
For a small fee in America.
How are you doing? Joining us live on Microsoft Teams. Good to hear from you and good to see you as well. So you're in Miami, aren't you?
I'm outside Miami, actually. I am now sitting in a condo in Deerfield Beach.
Deerfield's Mall, isn't that in Abu Dhabi? Just on the right-hand side as you go down, Tom?
Yeah, I think it's on the road to Abu Dhabi, isn't it?
Yeah. No, you're still in Florida.
I am still in Florida. Technically, I'm in Broward County. I'm about an hour and a half up from Miami.
Okay, so give us the quick overview. You're there, first and foremost, because Emirates is launching flights to Miami. First time they've ever gone there. You're on the inaugural flight, and you've been talking with the great and the good. We heard your interviews with the guys from Emirates, the interviews with the mayor of Miami and others as well. What was your key takeaway from all of that?
My key takeaway, to be honest, was that Florida is busy. It should be a bit of an off season because it is very hot. July and August, they have kind of their equivalent of summer surprises to try and get the locals spending. They have a sort of a spa month. They have a sort of a food festival month. But things are packed. I rented this Airbnb this morning, and it was one of about three that I could actually find on this whole patch of beach.
And inflation is a big deal, isn't it? I know booking car hire, it was challenging because there's so much demand and it's so expensive. I know hotel rooms are expensive as well, Airbnbs, from what you say. And listening to not just the mayor of Miami, but the person you spoke to from the convention and exhibitions industry saying that they are above 2019 levels.
Yeah, Rolando was telling us that they are at about 130%. And like I said, you can feel it. There are help wanted notices in every second window at the moment. Mind you, I was on the Miracle Mile yesterday, which is in downtown Miami, sort of one of the wealthier suburbs. And there's also quite a few businesses that have shut down. I had a local throwing me around who was pointing out some of what they call the mum and pop businesses that haven't made it through the pandemic. But those that have, particularly the chain restaurants and the chain hotels, are hiring, wait staff are being paid, signing bonuses. People are being paid $25 gift vouchers just to come and fill in a job application. There's a real war for labour at the moment.
Which is filtering through to inflation, which is, of course, what the Federal Reserve is built to try and fight, isn't it? We've got a Fed meeting. It starts today, actually. We get the decision tomorrow. And inflation is such a big story in the United States at the moment. What are you hearing? What kind of conversations are you having when you're having a cup of tea with people in Florida?
Speaking to people here, they're saying that prices are definitely going up. I had one friend tell me that where they used to sort of pay $70 for a week's groceries, they're now looking at paying $90. It used to be $45 to fill up the car, now $60. Mind you, you've got gas at about $3 a gallon, as opposed to talking about petrol a litre. But that obviously is on the back of the rising petrol price. Miami has voted to increase the minimum wage, so that's going to go up to $15 an hour, which has already been paid in a lot of sectors. Actually, I was in Whole Foods yesterday, and they've got a big sign trying to recruit more people saying we're already paying $15 plus an hour. And that will filter through to what people are paying in restaurants and hotels.
$15 for a cabbage in Whole Foods, they can afford to pay it. You're in a red state, Brandy, aren't you, Florida, typically? And we know that America is a divided nation at the moment. What kind of sense are you getting about the mood on the ground when it comes to the war against COVID-19?
Well, look, numbers in the US are rising, which is what makes the Fed meeting particularly interesting at the moment. If you think of the last time that they met, which was mid-June, case numbers were a lot lower. People were looking forward to sort of maybe a big boom in the summer, economy-wise, everything going a little bit more back to normal. That hasn't happened. They've spiked to about 50,000 cases a day. A lot of those are coming out of Florida. I think the number that people are throwing around a lot is 1 in 5 cases thought to be coming out of Florida. So the Fed's going to have to take that into account when they meet. Any thought of getting rid of economic stimulus, I mean, that's not going to happen. Different states are looking at ways of propping people up if they have to increase more restrictions. But there isn't the feeling of restrictions in Florida. Businesses get to choose whether or not people wear masks inside their establishment, a lot of businesses. And a lot of them have got signs up saying, if you're coming in, you have to wear a mask. In fact, the majority of them, I would have thought, buses are driving past with a no mask, no ride sign on the outside of them. I think I'm right about the businesses getting to choose, because I have had some people complain to me and say, well, it's very confusing because you don't know where you have to wear a mask and where you don't wear a mask, to which my answer is, well, just have one in your pocket and pull it out and put it on. But, you know, I mean, I've worn a mask absolutely everywhere. No one's been strange about it. But things are busy. I mean, super busy. Went out and had dinner tonight. There wasn't a spare table in the place. And the guy at the local supermarket down from where I'm staying was busy saying that he's sort of hasn't been this busy in years at this time.
And we're seeing that in corporate America, aren't we? I mean, not that long ago, we had those earnings from Tesla out, its first ever billion-dollar quarter of profit. And in the next two or three days, I'm sure you'll be following closely. We've got all the big tech companies, haven't we? Amazon, Apple, Google, Facebook, and so on. And it seems like the numbers are going to be pretty good for them as well from what the analysts are saying. Does it feel like the place is booming, Brandy?
Yeah, it really, really does. Getting a hire car, queuing to pick up the hire car, as I said, getting an Airbnb, the hotel room rates themselves, there's a definite feel that America is on holiday, but not in a taking a foot off the gas sort of way. I mean, it's driving season, the opposite, putting their foot on the gas. I mean, like I said, the rising numbers are being reported. Rising numbers across the US are being reported on the front pages of all the newspapers at the moment. But as we've seen with the economy here so far, when cases rise, all of the tech stocks do well. The stimulus checks keep flowing, so people put money into the stock market, so that rises as well. When the case numbers fall, the reflation trade does well, and things like airlines and hotels start rising. So I don't know when it stops.
Finally, can't let you go without asking you about, you're in Florida, one of Florida's most famous residents these days, Donald Trump, a president or former president, depending on the nomenclature of the United States. He doesn't want to be in Florida. Of course, he wanted a second term in the White House, but he is there. When you have conversations about politics, always a dangerous game, but when you do, what's the general feeling about Trump being a Floridian at the moment?
Well, it's funny. I've spoken to people who've described themselves as long-term Republicans, but have admitted that that has sort of wavered in recent years and months. I haven't seen him yet, but I will be driving through Palm Beach tomorrow, so I'll keep my eyes out.
Looking forward to that. Brandy, great talking to you. Appreciate that. You've got another couple of weeks of your holiday, haven't you? 15 seconds. What's your itinerary like for the next 15 days or so?
Up as far as South Carolina, back down, crossing the Everglades and heading to Naples and Sarasota.
Well,
doing a bit to keep the oil price up, Richard.
Sounds awesome. You're going to have some company in the not too distant future, because most of the Urquharts are heading off this week. Thomas will be joining you in just over a week's time. So we will be the Business Breakfast on tour in Florida for the next few weeks or so. Brandy, we'll let you get back to your Airbnb. It does look a bit like a padded cell, Brandy, I've got to say.
There wasn't a lot of choice, Rich. We take what we can get.
Brandy Scott is in Florida for the next few weeks. She was there as part of the Emirates' inaugural flight. Thomas, has that whetted your appetite for your family trip to Miami?
I'm liking the Olympics at the moment. The Olympics is good fun, isn't it, at present? As long as we can watch the Olympics, it'd be fine.
Then it'd be okay.
No. I think she mentioned the word queues, which has put me off even more.
Yeah.
Spending money in queues, not my favourite things.
Hotel rates, record highs. Car hire rates, record highs. Can't get a table
at
a restaurant.
Maybe I'll just let them go this week and then I'll fail my PCR test.
Not a bad idea.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.